Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Trupanion, medical insurance for pets, is proud to sponsor Pure Dog Talk. You take every care to give your puppies the best start in life. With Trupanion's Breeder Support Program, you can help puppies continue to receive the best. As part of the program, you're able to send your litters home with special offers for immediate coverage to ease the transition as the puppies adjust to their new home. Should the puppy get hurt or injured, Trupanion will help cover the vet bills so buyers can focus on what's best for their pet. Getting started is easy and there's no cost to you. Click the link on my partner page to join. Don't forget, mention Pure Dog Talk sent you. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I am back with Dr. Marty Greer, who I might also mention is Dr. Marty Greer, DVM JD, and that's kind of where we're going to focus a little bit today. Marty, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. So we're going to talk about veterinary ethics, and you are the president of the Society for Veterinary Medical Ethics, yes?
Yes.
And on the board of another organization that's putting both your law degree and your veterinary degree together.
Right. The American Veterinary Medical Law Association.
I can't keep up, man. You do so much. You are just amazing to me. And you told me just before we came on air, you were giving rabies shots to bear dogs and you're frozen. So I just really appreciate everything you do for dogs and everything you do for our listeners. So just a big on-air thank you.
Sure. Thank you. It's fun to do this. It's the best job in the world. In fact, it's really not even a job. It's just the best thing to do in the world. It's great.
And I think that's a perfect segue into what we're talking about. And that is the sort of recent, I think, occurrence where we have breeders and veterinarians sort of butting heads and some of those issues. And so this is more of a kind of philosophical thing. We're not really solving a problem. We're just talking about something that I know that you're going to bring some great information to the conversation.
Yeah. You know, until really recently, veterinarians were very highly thought of by many, many different people. And it's starting to slip a little bit. And that's a big concern to me.
And why do you think that is? What are you seeing on your end of the profession? I mean, I can certainly speak to it. I am incredibly blessed. I have had great veterinarians who are my best friends. So, you know, but you hear the stories of people who, you know, oh, my veterinarian did this or that or the other thing. And you hear all of these sort of amazing stories. And is it the people don't have the information or they have too much Dr. Google or what are we seeing here?
Yeah, I think part of it's too much Dr. Google. I think part of it is too much social media.
Yeah.
That if something goes wrong, which unfortunately in medicine things do go wrong,
right.
Things don't always turn out the way we want them to. We don't have spare parts that we can put into a dog and just repair it. They don't come that way.
Right.
But as a result, sometimes things don't go the way you want, and then that information gets shared sometimes virally on social media, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or Yelp or you pick your platform. There's a lot of ways that we can damage each other, sometimes not even intentionally, by sharing too much.
Right, right. And so talk to us a little bit about, from the veterinarian's perspective, we just were having this conversation about you love this job, and every veterinarian I know personally, as people who spend time in my home, they love their work. They love the animals. This is their dream job, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, what could be better than working with animals and people that go with them all day? And it's an amazing opportunity. It's a great career. There's so many different things that you can do with it. And you touch so many people in such a positive way. It's truly a calling. I don't think veterinarians do this because it's a job. It's just something that they do once a day. They get in the car and go to work. It really is a calling.
Right. I know, just like you, my personal veterinarian works. I have not known her to not work a 12-hour day for 6 days a week since I moved here in 2011.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a crazy schedule. and people need you at crazy hours of the day. There's nothing scheduled about anything that we do. In our practice, we're open 365 days a year.
Right.
Officially, we're closed the three family holidays, Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, but in reality, my husband and I won't let that happen because we're committed to making sure that all of our patients get the care they need. Now, we can't be 24 hours a day. We still have to sleep every now and then. But there's never a day that goes by that we don't have someone in the office, whether it's for a breeding or for a sick pet. There's never a day that we go by that we don't have somebody here taking care of the patients by phone, in person, you know, whatever it happens to be. So it's a huge commitment, and, you know, we don't make a lot of money doing this. My staff doesn't. We don't. You know, I can just tell you, it really has to be a passion because people don't get rich doing this.
No, I don't think they do. I've seen those budgets. And yep. So I guess, you know, wear your ethics president hat. From that role, how do you talk to people who are frustrated? What is your advice to our listeners who have a veterinarian and haven't built that relationship that you and I have talked about in the past?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I think really communication is a really important piece. It's not always easy, but many veterinarians and a lot of veterinary staff are introverts by nature, and in fact, I am as well. So it's not an easy thing for veterinarians to learn these communication skills, but honest, open, frank communication with people is always going to be the best way to handle something, whether it's going really well or going really not well. So it's important that we recognize that and that as a client, you find a veterinarian that you can communicate with effectively. You know, if you have particular opinions about diet or vaccines or the kind of care that you want for your dog, you need to interview veterinarians until you find somebody that really clicks with what your expectations and needs are. And it may mean that you drive a little bit further. But in reality, that's going to be the better relationship that you develop is with somebody that you really enjoy working with and you really trust. And especially if you're a breeder and you're seeing your veterinarian many, many, many times a year. I mean, we have people we see three times a week all
right.
the time because
right.
that's what we do.
Right.
And that's great because you can develop a relationship. And clearly, you're going to have a practice in most cases that has more than one doctor. So you may find one or two doctors in the practice that you click especially well with and then some others that you can do well with but not maybe be as close with. But, you know, you just need to have frank, open communications with them. And you need to be comfortable with them that they're going to follow what you're saying and what you're doing. The biggest problem in communication generally comes in when you have an emergency and you end up at a clinic that you're not familiar with. You have an emergency, you go to one of the emergency clinic or referral centers, and things tend to be a lot more difficult at that point because up to 30% of the dogs that go into emergency clinic don't have good outcomes. So you're at a place that you don't know, with people that you don't know, with a lot of money being exchanged.
And a lot of emotion. A lot of emotion.
You're very emotional. You're very stressed. You're very emotional. Things are very high stake. And you know that. You know things are not going to go well because you're a dog owner. You got it figured out. And you just don't have the relationship with those doctors that you have with your local clinic. But on the other hand, these emergency clinic and referral centers can do some amazing things. They have CT scans and MRIs and endoscopy and, you know, today we sent a patient in to have a needle taken out of her stomach with endoscopy
Jesus.
Instead of taking her to surgery. So it was a much easier, much less expensive procedure for the patient because we didn't have to make an incision to take the needle out. It was able to be done with just an endoscope passed down into her stomach. But they were at a place that they didn't know. You know, they didn't have that relationship. So the other part to this is really if you have the likelihood of developing an emergency, if you have a lot of dogs, it's probably a good idea to get to know those people as well. And a lot of veterinarians are happy to have you come in and meet with them and have that opportunity to develop a relationship before you end up in a crisis. And the same with your dog. You know, there's a big movement toward the low-stress, fear-free, kind of easier management of patients, sometimes with some anti-anxiety medications. So those are the things that you want to do so that in an emergency situation, things are not so terrible.
I'm not sure if it's me or the dog that needs the anti-anxiety.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't prescribe for my owners. I can only prescribe for the dog. But there's definitely things that we can do to reduce anxiety and to make things better. In fact, I've taken a 4-day immersion course at North American Veterinary Conference, now VMX, They have a 4-day behavior course, and I'm going back for the advanced course this spring. And it's amazing. Dr. Kieran overall.
Yes.
So if you aren't familiar with her, you need to get to know her.
Loved
work.
Talking to her.
She's amazing. But right. She has taught her dog. This just blows my mind. She's taught her dog to hold her breath so that when they need to take an x-ray, they lay her on the x-ray table and she holds her breath for the x-ray and then she'll start to breathe again. She's taught her dog to let them draw blood. They've taught the dog to have IV catheters placed, all of this without much restraint because she's worked really hard with her dogs to teach them these skills. So it's not anything that just you have to be a behaviorist to learn to do. If you want to go online and find some of the videos that she's done, you can look at these things. And if your dog knows how to do this stuff, they're going to be much cooler. And you're going to be much cooler under
right.
the set of circumstances that things are not going well.
Right. Absolutely.
So there's no reason that you can't teach your dog that if you're willing to put the time and effort into it. There's no reason that it has to be a muzzle, a sedative, Bruticane restraining the dog. So this is a little off of our topic, but really, there's some amazing things that you can teach your dog to do and that you can learn to do that are going to make a huge difference in your dog's ability to handle the stress of a circumstance where things are not great.
Right, right. No, I think that's really great advice. And listeners will remember we had an interview with Dr. Overall, and she was really, really amazing. She's a very impressive lady. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. Heads up, crew. Join our patrons today. Get immediate access to the support of a closed Facebook chat group, special patrons-only episodes, free mentoring sessions, and more. Just like the NPR of Dogdom, Pure Dog Talk brings you the news, the knowledge, and the insight to succeed with your purebred dog. In exchange, our Pure Dog patrons share the love with monthly or annual gifts, and that helps defray the cost of overhead and sort of keeping the MP3s rolling, you know? Hit me up, laura@puredogtalk.com, and I'll hook you up with the details. You know, one of the things that I think is important, and we sort of jokingly referenced it when we opened the show, but I think it's important to go back to and touch on, as a veterinarian, what is the general reaction when your client comes in and says, Dr. Google told me that my dog has X, Y, and Z, and that's what you need to treat it for?
Yeah, and my reaction may not be the same as every veterinarian's reaction, but I would like to see what you've looked up
right.
so that we can intelligently discuss what you found and then discuss what the pros and cons, advantages, disadvantages, all those things of what you've discovered happen to be. And sometimes you found some pretty cool things. I actually had a cat that came in a few years ago that had been chewing the hair off of his feet. Now, if this is a dog, you go, oh, well, that's an allergy. That's a big deal. That's what they do. Well, this was a cat. Cats are not dogs.
No.
So I looked at her and I thought, uh-oh, I know what this could potentially be. And there's actually a liver cancer in cats that makes them chew the hair off their feet. So I looked at her and I said, well, I think we need to do some lab work on this guy because I'm a little concerned about what's going on. And she looks me square in the eye. And she kind of squints at me and she says, you think that he has liver cancer, don't you? I'm like, well, actually, that's kind of on my list. So it's not something that's generally known, but she had done enough time on Google to know that that was a possible differential diagnosis. So it actually made it much easier for me because she was already prepared to say, well, let's do lab work. I think that's a good idea. So it depends on the circumstance. Now, sometimes people come in with wild or off base, but I still listen through it, and I'm, I think, reasonably good at listening to a client and understanding what their goals are and then figuring out what really does make sense and teaching them, educating them. And, you know, I think that's a real key. So I think if you can find a veterinarian that's not threatened by that kind of an approach and you come in with ideas, expectations, goals, and you let them know that, and then you're willing to listen to what they have to say,
right.
I think it's a really great way to develop a relationship.
Right. That conversation is a give and take rather than just a directive.
Right. I had a client in the other day, just this week, that has been feeding a diet that isn't really one of my preferred diets because of the grain-free nature of it.
Right.
But he'd been to another veterinarian who I know, and she'd called me and she'd talked to me about it before the dog came in. And I said to the guy, well, this doesn't really thrill me, but let's talk about this. And at one point I said to him, in this dialogue that we're having, and he said, see, he looks at his wife and he says, see, we're having a dialogue. She's not dictating. And I thought, ooh, wow, okay. So that's the relationship that you want to develop, is that opportunity to have a dialogue with your veterinarian, to be intellectual about it, to be smart about it, not to get emotional, and just to simply say, these are the facts, let's talk about it. Why do you think what you think? Why do I think what I think? Let's talk about it. And I'm here to try and educate you. And if that's a relationship you can have with your veterinarian, that's invaluable. That's just really, really an important relationship to have.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that I've been very fortunate to have found a lot of really great veterinarians. So now the sticky wicket, you live in perhaps a small town, an area where you don't have much in the way of veterinary choice, and your veterinarian is not interested in having a dialogue. What are some of the things that you can do as an owner to introduce these sorts of topics, to start these kinds of dialogues?
Right. And the first thing is to go in and just have a conversation, maybe not even take the dog or cat with you. Just go in, set up an appointment, expect to pay a small consultation fee for it. But there's a lot of veterinarians who are really happy to develop a relationship with you, and because most veterinarians want to have a good relationship. The other thing to realize is that telemedicine is just a huge, huge up-and-coming thing for us. So there's a lot of veterinarians who are going to be coming to the forefront and in the position to be able to provide telemedicine services. Now, telemedicine inherently has some drawbacks to it. There's not going to be the ability to do a physical exam, but there are multiple services that now veterinarians can do, real-time or asynchronous consultations with clients where they look at video, maybe real-time where they're actually, you're videoing the dog while you're conversing with the veterinarian. And then there's other places that you would take video and then later on converse with the client and the doctor would have a conversation. So there's a lot of really cool things that are happening very, very quickly in veterinary medicine. The tricky part is what states are going to allow what, and there's a huge change. There's just a seismic change that's happening in the next year or two, and it's the development has already started, that we're seeing differences in the law and the way things are handled. The American Veterinary State Board Association has just come out with Model Practice Act language that will allow veterinarians to do telemedicine within their state or across state lines with consultations without being in the same room with the patient. Now, there are going to be veterinarians who are reluctant to do it, but I will tell you there are some clinical cases that I know I can manage better long distance than the local veterinarians can manage close up because we have experience with canine reproduction in cases that they don't have.
Right.
That's not going to be true in every case. There's going to be times that you just have to have your hands on the animal, or that then your local veterinarian consults with somebody long distance that has experience with something else, and there's increasing numbers of consultation services that that can happen in. So there's some really, really cool things that are just about to break loose and really happen that are going to give people the opportunities to have long-distance relationships with veterinarians that they haven't previously been able to have.
Well, and I think that's really, really interesting and kind of segues perfectly into where I was going next, which is sort of the special needs, if you will, of those of us in the Purebred Dog Fancy who are in need of veterinary services that address reproductive well-being and address perhaps crop and dock and address bark softening and some of these things that perhaps not every veterinarian is as comfortable with. And So what you're describing is perhaps an opportunity or a way for people to be able to get those kinds of services if they don't have them immediately available.
Right, right. And then the other thing that I really want to emphasize in this conversation is that if you have had something go wrong, whether you're the veterinarian or the client, if you have had something go wrong and you need to have a dialogue, you need to have a conversation, and this happens regularly in veterinary practice, sadly, things don't always go the way that you want them to, that you need to have an open dialogue and a conversation with a client. The worst thing that a veterinarian can do is hide in their office, not return phone calls, not come out to the exam room and speak to you, to not have a conversation about what happened, what went right, what went wrong, you know, what kind of things occurred, because it happens. It just frankly happens in medicine. And we know from studies that were done at the Veterans Hospital that when a physician, if there's been either a mistake or just a medical outcome that was less than desirable, if they have a frank conversation with the family, with the patient, with those people that are involved, that there's a whole lot less hard feelings if the conversation is had and people are really honest and open with each other and can share what happened and what went right and what went wrong. But veterinarians have a tendency, like I said, to be introverts, have a tendency to kind of hide and not be frank and open with people. And I'll tell you that those are the cases that we see go to the state board. Those are the cases that we see legal action threatened in. And that's really tragic because you don't want to ruin a relationship that you have with somebody. Veterinarians are good people. They don't mean to do anything harmful. They don't mean for things to go wrong, but they do. And if you have a relationship with the veterinarian and you can have a frank, open, honest conversation and they explain to you what happened and you can listen and understand and ask questions, it makes a huge difference in understanding what happened, what went on, and how you can repair those relationships and make the best of a terrible situation, because things do go wrong.
And are there mediation services available? I mean, can you provide listeners, can we give them some links maybe about places they could go and acquire services to help work through some of this type of thing in this sort of a situation?
Sure. And veterinarians, in many cases, have practice liability, insurance liability, so they can talk to their liability coverage carrier, and those people can be very helpful. Those are professionals that are usually veterinarians and attorneys. That can be very helpful. There's a great mediation service that Deborah Hamilton runs that she helps to talk people through things.
Yep.
Deborah Hamilton Mediation Law.
Yep. We've had her as a guest also. She's fabulous.
Yep. She's great. But the most important thing is that you call the practice, you talk to the veterinarian or the practice manager or whoever you can get a hold of at the practice, and you try to have that conversation without involving somebody, because many times, you know, my question to a client will be, okay, well, we can't bring Fifi back, but tell me what I can do. What's the thing that I can do to make you feel that we understand what happened and that you know we're not going to let this happen to somebody else? Because that's what everybody wants to know is,
right,
if something happened in your practice that you have made alterations, changes in your protocols, in your procedures, in how you train your people so that it's not going to happen to somebody else. And if you can tell somebody, this is what we've learned, this is what we're doing, and is there something I can do to make you feel as much better about this as I can? That is a huge part of healing the process and healing the relationship. And it's happened to us. I've been in practice 37 years.
Right.
In 37 years, you know everything can't go beautifully and swimmingly. Things don't always turn out the way that you wanted to. And, you know, whether it's the trauma was so severe that you couldn't turn them around or, you know, whatever it happens to be.
Right.
Nobody wants for that to happen badly. And everybody at a veterinary clinic has huge dedication to making the pet as comfortable and as healthy as they possibly can. So those are the opportunities to have a relationship and a discussion about what you learned, what you can do differently, what you're doing going forward, and what can I do to make you feel as good about the situation when it's a bad situation that I can. Sometimes it's about money. A lot of times it's not. A lot of times it's about don't let this happen to somebody else.
Right.
And we get that if we let the client express it. If we hide in our office, that's when clients get angry and bitter. And grieving has an anger component to it. So when you lose your pet, there is a component of anger, a component of guilt. There's a lot of emotions that happen with that.
Absolutely. And I can be certain that every one of us here has been through that. God knows I have. So I think it's so important, more than anything else, for listeners to hear that there are options for them if they do not have a veterinarian that they feel is a good fit for them. I think that's great. I think it's incredibly good for them to know that there are resources out there, right, other than Dr. Google.
Yeah.
And asking questions on Facebook chat groups and stuff like that, which just
right.
makes me crazy.
Right. Right. But if you have specific needs, frequently you can find a veterinarian that will do telemedicine with you, that will help you with things. You know, there's a lot of really cool things that we can do for clients. And it's really rewarding. And if you're working with a veterinarian or you're part of a veterinary staff, you don't have to be a vet to join the Society for Veterinary Medical Ethics. We'd love to have you as a member. We have an online course for people. It's a great opportunity to learn about ethics, to have interesting dialogues. This year, we're setting up a program that we're going to set up 12 different hot topics that we're going to have for discussion topics on our SVME listserv, so veterinarians can have conversations. There's some really amazing things that are happening with ethics and with telemedicine that are going to make this an exciting time to be a client, to be a practitioner, to be a veterinary staff member.
I love it. That is very cool. As always, listeners, we will make sure that we have some information for you from Dr. Greer on this. And Marty, thank you. Thank you very much for staying late, and go get warm, okay? I know you have a blizzard there right now. So.
Well, I'm always happy to speak to you. So thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Supers desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.